and I bring you Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho on BBS Radio. Listen up!
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. And by the Rockstar Chronicles, my new book features over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. Available now at bookbaby.com. and Amazon.com. Canadian Music Hall of Fame group Loverboy celebrates the 40th anniversary of their five-time platinum certified self-titled album Loverboy this year. To commemorate this sonic work of art, the group releases a special limited edition vinyl of the legendary rock classic via Sony Music Entertainment Canada Inc. Originally released in October of 1980, Loverboy features many fan favorite singles, including The Kid Is Hot Tonight, Turn Me Loose, and Little Girl, the latter serving as the inspiration behind the iconic album sleeve artwork. Contemporary Canadian artist Barbara Astman was commissioned to create the cover art and brilliantly typed the lyrics from Little Girl onto a self-portrait Polaroid as it developed. The 2020 special edition is printed with a full cover emboss on Astman's typed text to pay homage to this process. Loverboy went on to become a major Canadian rock hit, with winning a record-breaking 6 awards at the 1982 Junos, a record the band still holds today. Upon release, the album sold more than 700,000 copies in Canada, 2 million copies in the U.S., and 4 million copies worldwide. The band's success catapulted them into a top 5 touring acts in the world, making them the first Canadian group to ever earn Columbia Records' exclusive Crystal Globe Award. Celebrating the sale of over 5 million albums outside their native country, since 1992, the band has maintained a steady road presence with Sony Legacy releasing a greatest hits compilation. The group was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame at the 2009 Juno Awards. Please welcome Canadian musician and the lead singer of the legendary rock band Loverboy, Mike Reno, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Mike.
Ray, I'm not worthy, man.
I had to cut that down, too, man.
Wow, I'm getting tired just listening to that intro.
Well, you know what it is. You guys now have, you know, have these such a long staying power in the music industry. It's hard.
Yeah, I know it's hard.
It's hard to keep up with you guys. Congratulations, man, on the 40th anniversary of the debut album.
I appreciate that, Ray. Thanks. And it's coming out in red vinyl. It looks beautiful. I've got one in my hands.
That's awesome. Do you have a really cool old stereo system, like a rack system or anything like that from back in those days? You know, like a Sansui?
I got three a turntable, none of which are working. I got this thing that you could put a CD in, you could listen to the cassette tapes or records, and it all comes down to these tiny little speakers from Walmart.
Oh.
It's not a very good system. But Paul Dean, who's an audiophile, told me that this record sounds amazing.
Wow. That, you know, I love vinyl. I still do. And I miss those days when you can go to the record store and, you know, look through albums and, you know, check out the great photos and the inside and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
I want to, first of all, before this interview, I told you that I had George Lynch, you know, docking fame. And he gave you a lot of compliments, man. He was saying that, I guess you guys toured together at one time. And he said, your voice has gotten better and better. And he was astounded.
Oh, that's nice of George. George is a good guy. Yeah, we did tour with Dawkins for quite a while in the early days. And then I did something not that long ago with the George Lynch band. And it was kind of a fun thing. It was in Austin, Texas, a summer night, 105 degrees kind of thing, 100% humidity.
Wow.
It was one of those, yeah, it was an outdoor show, too. It was fun.
I was looking at your old videos, you know, from the 80s, early 80s. I got married in 83, so I'm so familiar with the 80s sound. And I was a top 40 DJ in 79 and 80. But... The look you had back then, I mean, you could be in Cobra Kai, the new series, you know, the Karate Kid and all that.
I started before Cobra Kai.
I think you did.
you know how that headband thing got started?
How?
Curiosity.
How?
We're playing some nightclubs in Vancouver when we were first starting out. This is before we got a record deal and everything. And we're singing away. I'm doing my show. The lights are 1,000-watt parlaps, and they're about 6 feet away, if you're lucky, you know, in nightclubs. And after about three songs, I was so sweaty I couldn't open my eyes. And so during the break, I cut a sleeve off one of my T-shirts that I was wearing. I just took it off, cut the sleeve off, and then I put the sleeve of the T-shirt on as a headband just to soak up the sweat so I could see out of my eyes. And it was like, that's how it all started, really. That was just necessity.
Yeah, just like the basketball players, man. It is necessity. I'm sure they can't see the hoop without certain guys, you know, without the headband. So
absolutely, yeah.
Do you sell those headbands? Do you have them on the market or anything? You know, as like a souvenir.
Absolutely, we got them. They're not very much money. We kind of sell them as a kind of a, and people put them on at the concerts, and they stand up front and sing all the words. It's so much fun.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I'd like to get some of those headbands. I'll go on your website.
we'll get Tom to send you one.
Okay, I sure will. Talk about the inception of, you know, I mean, two of the greatest songs in classic rock that are still powerful today is Turn Me Loose and Working for the Weekend. I mean, Working for the Weekend, did you guys plan that? And you knew, hey, if we write a song about working for the weekend, it's going to get a lot of airplay. Or did it just happen?
It just kind of happened. You know what it is for me? It's originally, I think when we were working on the song, written on the page was Waiting for the Weekend, and I never sang Waiting for the Weekend once. I sang Working for the Weekend every time I sang it, and that's what became, you know, that became the name of the song. And I'm glad I changed it to Working for the Weekend, because Waiting for the Weekend wasn't cutting it.
Exactly. It's weird how things work out like that, isn't it? It's like destined.
It is totally weird, and it turned out for the best. But you know, in reality, everybody is working for the weekend. We're just working hard all week. You know, we put the effort in, and then boom, 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 time to have a good time on the weekend. So let's go.
Well, that's why it's such a huge hit even today, you know. You can't go wrong with a title like that. And
you can't go wrong. I like that. You can't go wrong with a title like that.
There you go. That'll be your next hit.
I'll have to work on that one.
And Turn Me Loose, man, that's a great song. As a matter of fact, before I was getting ready for this interview, it got stuck in my head. It's one of those songs, you know. You hear it, and then it's always there, you know. It's a great tune. When you guys first started, was it Kiss that was the first band you played with?
Well, it was kind of a, yeah, it just kind of happened. What happened was there was a Kiss concert coming to Vancouver, and it came, and the warm-up act, the New York Dolls, weren't admitted into Canada for whatever reason. I can't imagine there's any reason for that. But anyways, so they basically, they phoned down to my manager's office, because he's the guy in town to call, and my manager called me and said, "You're on stage tonight." I said, "Where?" He goes, "The Coliseum, which is the biggest venue in town, right?"
Yeah.
At the time. And I said, "What's going on?" He goes, "You're warming up Kiss." And I went, "No way." Because, you know, warming up Kiss isn't really something you look forward to, because a lot of Kiss warm-up bands get booed off the stage.
Yeah.
So we're lucky we didn't get booed off the stage. The 45-minute set ran, it just like almost like didn't even happen. We didn't even have our bass player with the band yet. We were using Jim Clinch, the bass player for April Wine, because he was in town and he was a friend of ours, and he was just kind of hanging out at rehearsal hall, you know, having some fun. And he was so nervous when we went on stage that he forgot how some of the songs went, because he only practiced with us for a couple of days. And so he looked like a deer in the headlights, you know, and that kind of look. I looked over at him, and the song is starting on the keyboard, your favorite song, Turn Me Loose. And I walked over to him and I whispered into his ear, "Do, do, do, do."
That's funny.
And then he went on and played the song, and it was just like that's the kind of night it was. And to be honest with you, I was so darn nervous, I don't even remember much more of the show than that.
So you don't remember meeting Kiss that night?
I don't really remember meeting them, but it's, you know, first gig, we hadn't even had a record out, we hadn't even done any concert, it was the first concert we ever did, and it was in front of, you know, 17,000 Kiss fans, and we got away with it, so, you know, that was a good moment.
Matt, you played with a lot of big bands, and you know, I mean, you just kind of meshed well with everybody, you know? Cheap Trick, ZZ Top, Kansas, Def Leppard, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And your fans are still very loyal to you guys, even today. I mean, I looked on YouTube, and you guys get tons and tons of great comments from all your fans. It's
nice. You know what? That is a real positive thing. We've always been a positive energy band.
Yep.
High energy rock and roll with positive lyrics, and the whole thing we try to do is we don't get preachy, we just try to have a good time, and we want to have at least as good a time as the audience, which is tough to do because the audience has a pretty damn good time.
Yeah, that goes a long way when you say positive, you know? A positive attitude does go a long way, and you bring, you know, you generate positive music, positive vibes, you know, that's a great thing, and that's why you guys are so successful.
Probably part of the reason, and we do have great bands. You know, a lot of them become friends over the years. Mm-hmm. Every time we go to a city to play a concert, we've got quite an extensive guest list, and it's because over the years we became friends with a lot of our fans.
Yeah, I've interviewed most of the legendary Canadian bands over the years. You know, April Wine, Burton, and Burton Cummings, Randy Bachman, you know, all great guys, man, you know, living all over Canada. The only guys I haven't interviewed yet has been some of the guys from Rush. Yeah.
I talked to Burton Cummings last night. Funny you should mention his name. Yeah. We've got quite a few good musical entertainers in this country. Absolutely. It goes back a long ways.
And how about comedy? You know,
and comedy. We got some funny, crazy people in this.
Yes, you do. Second City TV. John Candy is one of my favorites of all time.
Oh yeah,
you know,
fabulous, wasn't he?
He's great. I saw a bio of him. I didn't realize he owned a football team up there. You know, the Canadian football team.
I think he was part owner of one of the team, Ottawa. I think maybe.
Yeah, he went too early. The guy was a genius, in my opinion.
Absolutely, I cannot. He was a genius. I agree.
But you did a lot of soundtracks also. You guys did a lot of soundtracks.
Well, we got, yeah. I've done a few on my own, and I've done a few with the band. Top Gun was a big one.
Yeah.
Kevin
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a fabulous hit. And it was a duet with Ann Wilson, one of my, well, my, I shouldn't say one of my, she's my favorite female singer. Other than my wife, I better throw that in. So Ann was, Ann and I just stood up in that microphone. I gotta swear, after we took an hour to kind of get to know each other, we stood up, and looked at each other face to face, sang that into the same microphone one time. See you later.
Yeah, yeah. What a voice she's got.
Fantastic.
What a voice. You guys mesh very, very well together. You know, that's a beautiful song. That's a gorgeous song. I talk with Roger Fisher from time to time. He's a nice guy. You know, the original guitar player from Heart. Yeah. And I've interviewed everybody in Heart except for Ann and Nancy. it just hasn't happened yet.
Well, now you got something to work for. You got to talk to Ann and you got to talk to Nancy.
Exactly.
When you do talk to the girl, say hi from Mike Reno.
Exactly.
We've done some quite a few shows together, but we've never sang it other than that one time.
Really?
That's Almost Paradise. We never sang it other than that one time. It's almost kind of neat because we only sang it once. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You guys should definitely get together again and do something, you know, collaborate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely like
Can't
to see
wait.
That. So what are you guys, during COVID, what have you been doing?
Well, I don't want to sound like Mr. Leisure, but my golf game's getting better.
Really?
And my bike riding's getting better.
Yeah.
My fishing's getting better. And occasionally I go into the studio and we work on a song, Paul and I work on songs here and there. We finish them up and put them on the internet as a little treat to our fans to keep them interested until we come back. This COVID thing's really turned us into a whole different breed of people, right?
Yeah, it's retirement. Kind of retirement type mode, I guess.
I tell you what, the word retirement has been in my wheelhouse for the last 8 months. Mm. We've been off for almost 10 months now. I think maybe 10 months.
That's great.
Our last show was February 29th, which was leap year last year.
Right.
In Las Vegas. And we came home March 1st, and they shut the borders down shortly thereafter.
Wow. Wow.
It's crazy.
I don't know, you know, everybody I talk to, man, they miss a live audience. And, you know, when is this going to happen? I mean, what can they do? There's got to be an alternative. I mean, they talked about watching concerts in your car and putting shields around and all this other kind of stuff. There's got to be another way to get the music out there, you know?
Vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to take...
We might call the next album Vaccine.
That's a good name for a rock band, too.
I can see it now. Other boys, Vaccine. 21.
That's funny. Or you can have a new band, you know, a new side project called Vaccine.
That's not a bad idea, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome, please, Vaccine. So, are you guys, you're talking about golf, what's your handicap?
12.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you playing? Are you playing in Canada?
Yeah, I'm trying to get it down to single digits, but now it's getting a little too cold where I live.
Are you playing in Canada? All the courses in Canada?
Well, I tell you what, I like to spend a lot of the winter in California.
Uh-huh.
But this year just isn't happening. We're not going anywhere. So
yeah.
I'm going to wait till the vaccine's distributed, you know, around the world, and then I'm going to start traveling again.
Yeah, we got some great courses down here in Florida, man. Awesome.
Well, you're
courses.
In Florida. I didn't know where you were.
Yeah.
From. That's great. I love Florida.
I'm on the West Coast.
Every time I come down to Florida, I play a couple of rounds of golf every week for sure.
Yeah. Have you played Alice Cooper?
You know what? I keep getting invited to his tournament, and then the show will come up, and I have to phone and cancel. But he has this thing in Phoenix, and it's supposed to be a real hoot. And they have a lot of musical guests, and a lot of musical guests in golf. And so he turned it into an annual thing. I haven't golfed with him. Oh, pardon me. I go Mm-hmm. But we weren't playing together. But I could see him over there. He's a good golfer.
Yeah, he is a good golfer. He even wrote a book, I think, about golfing. Yeah.
He put a lot of effort into it. Like, he told me that he went from Budweiser to golf courses, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
He gave up one for the other.
Yeah, that's how I think he got sober from playing golf.
That's exactly right. He said he had the personality where he had to get in. I've heard from a lot of people he plays 2 rounds a day.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, he's really into it. I love to play, but I hurt my arm, so now I haven't played since I hurt my arm. I had surgery on my arm, and I also had wrist surgery, so I'm kind of a little worried, you know, about that. But I need to go out there and start swinging the club again.
Yeah, just start stretching it out a bit, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. What's this connection you guys had with Putty from Seinfeld? Patrick Warburton?
Well, I met him at a golf tournament.
Uh-huh.
And we had a really nice time. And then the company hired us to do the commercial for the car rental place.
Right, right.
You know the one that he does?
National Car Rental, I think. Yeah.
National Car Rental, exactly.
Yeah.
And so the deal was, he's doing his thing and he walks up to the car and he goes, I gotta tell you, just like my good friends in Loverboy, I'm loving every minute of it. And then the song starts playing.
Oh, man.
And we drive out of the place and there's like flash pots going up each side of the car as he's driving. And we're all in the car. And the whole band's, I'm beside him and the rest of the band's in the back seat. It's just hilarious, right? Anyways, we became good friends. He's really, really a fun guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, I love him, man. He's cool. He is so funny and so, you know. I mean, without him, it just wouldn't be Seinfeld.
No, he was fantastic. He plays that role very well, Putty. You know, he's a little dense, he's a little quiet,
yep.
A little moody, and he kind of talks like that.
Yeah, exactly. Monotone, very monotone, you know. No one.
That's right.
Yeah. I was lucky enough, I know Kenny Kramer, the original Kramer. And that's who they based it off of. You know, Larry David was a neighbor of his, and that's how they got started and based, you know, the character off of him. He's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy. He does a tour in New York, and he shows you all the Seinfeld sites and things like that. And he actually does the bus tour himself.
That's cool.
He's a pretty good guy. Good guy. Mike, here's a question I ask everybody, and I get some interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
I would give anything to be on stage with the Beatles.
The Beatles, yeah.
I've got to be honest with you. Absolutely. Yeah. I love the Beatles. When the Beatles first came out, I just went, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
I just said, this is what I'm going to do right here. Right here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. I even sent a letter to the Beatles saying, I should be your drummer, because I started off as a drummer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I don't believe I did get a return mail on that one yet, but I'm still waiting.
Have you met any of them?
I have not, but I'm looking forward to it. I'd love to meet Paul.
Yeah. Actually, you should be in Ringo's All-Star Band. It's time they need a change up, and that would be perfect for you. You know?
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I'll wait, and then I could say I hung out with the Beatles.
There you go. There you go. I've covered a lot of Ringo's shows, and he's had the same group. I mean, they're excellent musicians, you know, who they have in the band now. But you know, Greg Raleigh's in there. Of course, Todd Rundgren's always in there. But, you know, I think it's time for them to change it up again. You know, they usually change.
Jack Blaze plays with them once in a while.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if Wally Palmer was ever in the band. Wally Palmer from the Romantics. I think he might have been with them for a while.
Yeah, I think so. I know Wally. I know why. He's a Facebook friend, and I talk to him once in a while. But, yeah, exactly. I think you'd be perfect in the band, you know. Burton was in there, you know.
Oh, Bird was in there. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Bird's a funny guy.
Man, he can sing. He can sing and play. He can play every one of his songs on the piano and just sing beautifully. You can't believe how good he is.
Bird's a funny guy, too, man. His impressions, have you heard his impressions?
You know what I know most about Bird, other than he's a good friend and a very nice man and a great singer, is that he is a musicologist. I think I'd probably say musicologist, if that's a word. He has access to so many songs, and he actually taught me a good way to keep your songs. He says, we know when you get rid of your old phones, and you can put like 64 gigs of stuff on these phones.
Right.
He says, if you don't use the phone again, just load it up with music and keep it around, and then plug that in and play the music from that particular phone. I thought, what a great idea.
Hmm. Next time you talk to him, ask him to do the Gordon Lightfoot imitation.
Oh, Gordon. We call him Gordon Heavy Toe.
Why is that?
Oh, it's just kind of a joke. Just the opposite of Lightfoot. You know, he's a great guy, too. And what's the great songs he's written?
I tell you, man.
We're trying to get him to calm down, though.
Yeah, to calm down? Oh, man, that's funny. But, Mike, you got anything else you want to promote? What's going on now with a new album coming out or anything like that? Are you working on anything?
Working on some new music. Paul and I, we've got a few new things going. We're going to finish them up, put them on our website, loverboyband.com.
Right.
So everybody go there. We just give them away for free now. No point trying to sell them. Nobody buys them anyways. Not in the present day. They just get them off the internet. So we might be the ones giving it away.
It's a shame, huh? It's a different era now. It's unreal. You know, I remember going to concerts, and you know, the standard price was $6.50, $5.50, and $4.50, and you saw three heavyweight bands, and they would do that so you can buy their album, and that's where the money
right.
was. Now it's the reverse.
Yeah. But we're going to be out there just as soon as it's. As soon as we're able. We just got to wait for the vaccine to kick in, everybody
yep.
get better and protected, and then we're going to be right there in a town near you, baby.
Yeah, I got a feeling you'll be at Ruth Eckerd Hall. I think you played there before in Clearwater, and that's
oh, it's,
yeah.
I love Ruth Eckerd Hall. That's awesome. Hey, listen, how about the Tampa Bay team last night, huh?
There you go. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Wow, I was rooting for him. I'm a big Tom Brady fan.
Well, he's incredible, but Tampa Bay defense, man, they really stepped up. They really stepped up.
There, but they shut those guys down because New Orleans was playing really really strong yesterday. They were really awesome. I thought they were going to take them, and then all of a sudden the defense started holding them back, and I thought, oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
How cool is it if they make it to the Super Bowl? Because you know the Super Bowl's here in Tampa, so. That would be so cool. Unfortunately, we're not going to have a lot of fans, you know. It's sad, you know. You know, you can't celebrate.
Yeah,
And then we won in hockey, too, you know. The Lightning won. We're the world champions there.
We're still mad at you about that. Mad at you for that.
Yeah, I'm a big hockey fan. I mean, probably bigger than anything else. I should be living in Canada, I think. But, I like the Lightning and I like the Capitals because I'm originally from D.C. So, I'm an Ovechkin fan, of course.
Oh, yeah. He's a player to have, huh?
Yeah.
Ray, I better get out of here. I got a couple other things to do today.
Mike.
And I really appreciate talking to you.
Hey, man.
It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. We hope to see the band again on the road very soon. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, Ray.
All right,
good
Mike.
Talk to you, bud.
Take care. Bye-bye. Purchase, Canadian Music Hall of Fame group Loverboy, 40th anniversary vinyl edition, also in red, edition of the multi-platinum certified self-titled album Loverboy. It's a limited vinyl LP pressing of the Canadian rock band's 1980 debut release to coincide with the album's 40th anniversary, and you can get that at Amazon.com. For more information about Mike Reno and Loverboy, visit their official website, www.loverboyband.com. Also on Facebook at www.facebook.com/loverboyband. And also on Twitter, www.twitter.com/loverboyband. Very special thanks to Tom Berger of Wolfson Entertainment, Inc. for arranging this interview with Mike Reno, and, of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of VBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. Of course, if you have comments or suggestions for the show, you can contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. And please, please, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. Hey, it's real news, people. And, of course, my new book is out. It's called The Rockstar Chronicles. It's Series 1. I hope to get at least four in the series. Chronicles, Truths, Confessions, and Wisdom from the Music Legends that set us all free. You can order yours today on hardcover or ebook at bookbaby.com and amazon.com. It features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. Here's just a few of the people that I've interviewed and are in the book. Legendary Chris Squire from Yes, Dr. John the Night Tripper, Greg Lake from Everest, Lake & Palmer, Henry McCullough from the Joe Cocker Band, Jack Bruce from Cream, of course, and Robin Trower, and all kinds of other collaborations he did. Joe Lawa, who was my first interview ever, played with Manassas. He was on the Saturday Night Fever album, Blues Image. Joe's a great guy. Visited him many times in Tampa. Johnny Winter, Keith Emerson from Emerson, Lake & Palmer. Keith and me talked about the revolving piano that was in California Jam. And if you go to Wikipedia, you can find out a little bit about that conversation that me and Keith had, but buy the book. Paul Kattner from Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, Ray Thomas from the Moody Blues, Ronnie Montrose, who I hung out with backstage, great guy, him and his wife, Lisa, Tony Joe White, who taught Elvis lots of things, including giving him a couple of songs to sing while he was on tour, and also try to teach Elvis a little bit more of the guitar, which he was not successful at. David Clayton Thomas from the Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Mike Love from the Beach Boys, of course. Tommy Rowe. Tommy Rowe was on the bill with the Beatles when they came to Washington at the Coliseum. And he's also a big top 40 hitmaker. Barry Hay from Golden Earring. Chris Thompson, Man for Man. Jesse Colin Young, Youngbloods. John Kay from Steppenwolf. Julian Lennon. Mark Lindsay from Paul Revere and the Raiders. Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees. Man, the list just goes on and on. Peter Rivera from Rare Earth. Tommy James from the Shondells. Todd Rundgren, Dave Mason, Edgar Winter, Frank Marino. Greg Raleigh from Santana, Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull. We also have Jim Dandy Benton Mangrum from Black Oak, Arkansas. John Anderson from Yes. Of course, Lou Graham from Foreigner. Mick Bach from Uriah Heep. Randy Bachman, VTO, and the Guess Who. The great Robin Trower. Roger Fisher from Heart. Steve Hackett from Genesis. Annie Haslam. The beautiful voice of Renaissance, Melanie Safgar, Petula Clark, Susie Quattro, Colin Blumstone from The Zombies, Dave Davies from The Kinks, Jim McCarty from The Yardbirds, and of course, Pete Best, the original Beatle drummer. It's just a fantastic lineup of people over the years that I've had the great pleasure of chatting with, and the hardcover is definitely a collector's item, and it's a great coffee table book. Just sit it there on the coffee table and people will definitely be interested in it. Well, by the way, Book Review, the literary titan, gave us 5 stars on that. So we're very proud of that. Thank you for listening today, and tune in to us next time. We have a lot of great legends coming up your way, music legends. And stay safe, stay healthy, and peace, everybody. God bless. Amen.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.